Digital Now, der Podcast für die digitale Transformation. Welcome to a new episode of our Digital Now podcast. Today, we dive deep into the ever-evolving landscape of the professional realm. In today's episode, our host Konstantin Pelka engages in a thought-provoking conversation with the insightful Spencer Izard, exploring the dynamic world of digital employer experience. Together, they navigate the intricacies of digital touchpoints within the professional sphere, shedding light on how these interactions shape the modern workplace. Join us as they unravel compelling examples, dissecting the pulse of digital employer experience and pondering its recognition among C-level management.
Hi everyone, I'm Konstantin Pelka. I am working as an employer branding manager at Valantic, and I have a wonderful, inspiring guest. It's Spencer Izard from PAC Agency, and welcome to our podcast today.
Hi Konstantin, thank you very much for having me here today. So I work for an industry analyst firm called PAC, and one of my areas of expertise and focus is what we're going to talk about today around digital employee experience and a journey that pretty much every software, services, and enterprise organization I speak with is going through, and how they're addressing it.
Wonderful. As a headline for our podcast today, we could maybe say the colleague as a client. That was my summary on our preparation talk. Let me do the first step into the debate about employee experience. Maybe it's very helpful to first get a glimpse and an idea what the term employee experience means, Spencer.
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's important as a caveat to say that, you know, employee experience is not, it shouldn't be a technology-led definition. So for myself and for PAC, you know, we see employee experiences, the entire journey, the holistic experience an employee has with their employer, all the way from recruitment through the whole of the tenure there across their organization. So that includes obviously onboarding and new hire training, the complexity of that, the tools and the experience they need in their day-to-day work environment and the company culture, how they navigate their relationships with their managers and their coworkers through collaboration and communication. It also includes, understandably, learning and development opportunities, which, you know, are tied very closely with sort of skill assessments as well, you know, and the amount of technologies and tools that are needed to support all of this. So, you know, these are some of the elements, and also some of these parts of employee experience also help with regards to opportunities for growth and career progression. And I think it's really important, though, to emphasize that employee experience or good employee experience is focused on engaging employees both emotionally and rationally. And I think a lot of organizations sort of have over time missed the emotional part. They've gone with the rational side of things. And I think that's sometimes where there's some tension. Also, I think with employee experience, it's important to talk about how, you know, it expands the concept of employee engagement by having this sort of single employee view, that holistic view across their entire life cycle, how they engage. And currently, you know, most technology, you know, most ways employees engage, you know, in their organizations is, you know, outside of in-person engagements, is obviously through sort of laptop experiences, through the different tools they have, through collaboration tools and conferencing tools, communication tools, whether it's kind of your chat-based communications, or whether it's a knowledge base type engagement through some kind of support desk function, or whether it's some kind of records management system. So a lot of the current tools for employee experience are very separated, I would say, from my experience across the business. You go to different parts of of your organization for the different things you need. There's very few organizations that have that sort of one-stop shop, as the US type folks talk about, of that one-stop point of engagement. But you know, that's a general, I would say, overview of employee experience that leads into the digital side of things, which is through the devices, whether it's mobile or laptops or, you know, or other means.
That's very interesting, Spencer, because it's surprising that we gained this new perspective on our employees. I mean, as you said, employees in earlier times were seen just as an object of productivity. And now it's about the whole experience of employees. Could you tell what are the main reasons why the employee experience, this term, gains so much importance in recent past?
I think when these conversations happen a lot, I think a lot of people, leaders and employees, would point to the pandemic. But I would say that actually the starting point for this was probably around, for me anyway, was around sort of 7 to 10 years ago. So a lot of organizations started to evolve how their employees also engage with consumers through consumer digital experiences, and then realized they needed to change and support those employees in those type of roles. And then gradually over time, greater collaboration tools came along internally for those employees that weren't externally facing. And so there was a significant change and shift. And what this meant really, and was emphasized by the pandemic, and then since we've left that, and we're still, you know, we're still readjusting, is that we at PAC particularly see there to be a war on talent in across pretty much every industry and every technology segment within Europe, and also, frankly, globally. It's a tight labor market at the moment. You know, employees have more options than they used to. A lot of organizations can't find the skills that they need to meet modern demands, whether it's around AI, whether it's around sort of, you know, creative skills and a variety of digital creative skills that are needed. So that's a huge factor. Pretty much all the surveys that we do, basically talent as a challenge and talent acquisition and retention continues to be, if not the top, frankly, the second or third of business priorities at the moment and business challenges. There's also a impact on performance in organizations that don't have more modern experiences. We see evidence in our research repeatedly that a better employee experience and digital employee experience does drive higher productivity, innovation. It allows for employees to feel encouraged to bring forward some of their own ideas to help improve the organization. As we've mentioned, there's been a rise in remote work, and also technology continues to be a key differentiator in this space. We continue to see that the modern employee is understandably expecting an experience in their work akin to what they have in their personal life. And when that doesn't reflect, that becomes a dissatisfying element for themselves. So these tend to be the main drivers with regards to this.
So, Spencer, I'm interested, what impact does digitization have on employee experience? And what do you think is changing in this area momentarily?
That's an excellent question, because always looking into the future around employee experience. And I think it's a good question to ask for the fact that it will always move. There will always be an evolution. And I think organizations sometimes think about a problem as being a defined for a defined period of time, or a challenge or an opportunity. So, you know, as digital employee experience evolves, you know, we're going to continue to see greater levels of communication and collaboration, you know, through a range of digital channels and a combination. You know, look, you know, we today are recording this, you know, through what you would consider a digital channel. We're both in two different countries. We're both discussing, you know, a subject. This is the most ideal way of describing one means of collaboration. You know, this will continue to grow. But, you know, we've got to be careful with regards to these type of technologies that we also appreciate the human element. And, you know, sometimes remote and hybrid tooling can create degrees of fatigue. Access to knowledge and learning, I see a major growth area in this space, and it being more tailored to the employees. So, for example, having AI help to be more of a coach for an employee, to give them sort of steer on, because the, you know, the data an organization has about an employee, what they've done, how they're doing, their performance, how it relates to skills, you know, with the use of generative AI type technologies over time, it allows for more customized engagement and coaching type situations for employees to give them inspiration, to give them suggestions and on how to evolve. However, I would say, like all things, don't rely too much on the AI. It will need human curation to sort of, you know, manage the suggestions and manage what's open to the AI to make suggestions for. So that's important. You know, again, because we're in this time now in our lives where AI is growing into so many parts of how we work, you know, it will provide more and more data, which will give more and more insights to both the employer and the employee, enabling greater scale of personalization that never occurred really before inside of organizations. Personalization has been something that's been really focused on how do you deliver that to consumers and clients and external people. So now there's this opportunity to leverage it internally. And again, you know, there's an opportunity to use digital assistants. And over time, I think we will see the use of augmented reality, maybe virtual reality over time. It's still relatively early days yet. There's a lot of sort of hype and conversation, and some organizations are encouraging the use of it. But I still think it's very situational as a technology currently. And also, lastly, again, I've already mentioned generative AI, but one of the biggest uses of generative AI going forwards will be not to necessarily replace people, but to act as essentially either a creative or a research assistant. You know, somebody just, you know, a thing that can provide you with a level of information and insight that was probably difficult to attain or would take a while internally previously, or, you know, you didn't have the skills or access to get that information. So, you know, I think that's where the biggest trends around digital employee experience will come over time, will be this greater access to insight and greater autonomous advice and coaching.
There are plenty of demands on the new perspective of employee experience as far as you described. But I think what you said, the gamification and learning as an essential part of bringing employees into more engagement, is also a question. The leadership, how is the C-level reacting to this occurring topic of employee experience? What do you think? Do they have it already on the radar of their strategy? And what do you think? How is it possible to implement these new perspectives into a big organization?
So that's a very interesting conversation, and definitely there's degrees of frankness about answering this question. Because what I would say is, in all honesty, from a C-suite perspective, this is not very high yet on leaders' radars. And what I don't mean that in the sense of they're not aware of employee experience. What I mean is in the sense that we've already framed it as, which is it's a holistic conversation. It's a holistic strategy that needs to be created. So, you know, we still see that at the moment around 30% of companies currently have a dedicated digital employee experience strategy. That's not saying that they're not investing in collaboration tools and other technologies internally to ensure the employees can engage better. But it's that connected nature where, for example, your training system is connected very deeply with your HR system, which is very connected deeply with all your other systems. So you get all the same levels of insight going through. So I think adoption is still early in regards to that frame. And, you know, in all honesty, the pandemic was horrible in so many ways for all of us for that period of time. But what it did do is it really did force, I mean, and during that period, I was doing a CIO role where I joined literally as the pandemic started in the UK. And one of the first things we had to work out in that my organization then was how do we enable our people to work remotely? So that situation forced, I think, a lot of the thinking that we're now seeing deeper strategies around to do with digital employee experience. Also, it is being recognized now, as we can understand, is that the newer generations of employees coming from university into companies, they have grown, understandably expected to a certain level of customer experience in their personal lives, and they're looking for that as a differentiated value add to joining a company. So, you know, there is definitely a keenness at the C-suite to, you know, to get talent in and understand they need to have the right tools to have that.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Spencer, because I'm interested about your perspective, because the term employee experience, it's an holistic approach to employees. And in order for C-level and leadership to make good decisions and also develop a strategy, they need to describe this phenomena of employee experience in data. And do you think that it's problematic or it's a challenge because employee experience is so, it's a holistic approach on this journey of an employee, the productivity, so many aspects. Do you think that's a challenge for organizations to have a good database and bringing all the different aspects employee experience mean together to make good decisions?
Yeah, so I've got a slight sort of chuckle in my voice when you ask that, because I think what I think back to is about 10 years ago, I was having conversations around customer experience, and roughly the same question was asked. And what was born out of that over the last few years is, for the sake of acronyms, is a customer data platform, you know, a way of centralizing all customer data to offer more personalized experiences. I think we're going to be in the same kind of inflection point as you were asking with regards to the employee, that maybe there is an opportunity for employee data platform style solutions, but wrapping the service around that, because you bring up a really good point, which is that, you know, so much information about the employee is dispersed among so many different parts of the organization. And it's the classic thing that most organizations have when data is dispersed into different areas, which is a challenge in bringing it all together. And I think that if I was to advise any C-suite leader on what to start with first, it would be, as you just mentioned, is sit down, understand what your employee journey is. Now, there isn't going to be one journey that fits all employees, but there will be variations in the same you do for customers. And then from there, you need to understand where the data sources all come from to feed into that. And then from that, you would then start a range of, so as I think I mentioned already, design thinking ideation sessions where employees are engaged in the journey to help say, yeah, what is the experience you need out of it? I think one of the things that concerns me still with some conversations I have with C-suite leaders is that there's a lack of appreciation that employees need to be engaged in the conversation and to provide input into all of this as it goes along. It's not just a case of build something, give it to them, tick in a box, job done. It's definitely a sort of a journey together. So it is very complicated.
It seems that it's a big challenge for companies to fulfill all the demands. What I'm interested in, Spencer, is you dropped the word personalization. This appears as the key as a good employee experience. I'm wondering, how is it possible in an organization where you have to go on the abstract level in order to make good decisions, finding data? That you can offer this amount of personalization within a big company, and what do you think is the role of digital tools, room spaces, digital learning offerings in order to create this kind of a personal, positive employee experience?
Yeah, so... I promise not everything on this podcast will refer back to customer experiences, just because a lot of customer experiences come first in this journey. So this has been a holy grail for that side of type of experience for at least the last 20 years, which is that the term hyper-personalization. And how do you do it? One thing I would say is more encouraging is that whilst employee data is dispersed diversely across an organization, it's still within the parameters of the organization, and everything and anything you need to know about the employee should have. So it's easier than to derive personalization once you identify the interconnected data than it is for, say, a customer. I would then suggest, and this kind of reflects the previous area we were talking about to do with like the future of digital employee experience, is that large language model AIs, like your sort of generative AIs and ChatGPTs, I think they are one of the sort of collaborative differentiators that will help drive personalization. I think without these type of technologies, organizations will struggle to do personalization at the sort of scale. What you tend to see at the moment is sort of the internal knowledge base. So that's sometimes used through a product like ServiceNow, but it's the internal knowledge base type approach where you just go and ask a knowledge base, which has a library of you know, frequently asked question type knowledge, and hopefully you can get an answer back that's associated. So this sort of lack of accuracy and sophistication has been what's hindering personalization. This being able to run this AI at scale internally, that is really the differentiator in this space. And that's the thing that's going to, you know, I think potentially, you know, really make this accelerate.
Don't you think that personalization, as you say it, is something analog, something very physical, something very direct, and as the word says, personalization? How do you think technology can offer a personal experience? Is there a tension between using technology and having the demand of a personal experience for the employee?
Yeah, so that's a good follow-up. I'm enjoying the challenges of thinking about the answers for this. Yeah, you're right. You know, there is personalization in an employee context, as there's a level of physical space of understanding, you know, where a person likes to work, how they like to work, what tools in their office. And then there's a level of personalization that comes from, you know, mapping sort of skills, hitting targets, projects you've worked on, mapping that, using that as a mapping mechanism to try and advise on training and knowledge and insight and improvement. So I think one of the things that employees need to do more is provide more mechanisms for employees to provide feedback. And I don't just mean like how happy I am, how sad I am, but more along the lines of what are my preferences? You know, how do I like to work? How do I like to operate? Because then having that insight provides a greater set of knowledge with how to configure the physical environment. You know, it's important to, like, some people don't like to work, for example, in a ideation, as we've already mentioned, that design thinking ideation fashion. That's not a preference that some people have. Some people also enjoy doing the specific type of work that they do, so they don't necessarily want to be advised on what new opportunities in a completely different part of the business they could work for. So there's going to have to be a range of sort of AI-driven suggestion through the data to say, look, you know, we've seen you do this, could be interested in that. And there's going to have to be more engagement, trying to get more of a sense of people's preferences. It's definitely going to take time and it needs expertise. It needs, you know, specialist companies to help enterprise organizations in helping to design these processes, because I've also seen constantly across my career, both as an employee, as an advisor, and everything in between, is that it's difficult for an organization to reflect on how it operates in the middle of having to deliver all the services that it wants to deliver. It does often need an external party to sort of come in and help provide and steer that conversation and that sort of design thinking direction. So it's definitely a nuanced journey, should we say.
As you said, the personalization is a key to understand and to master a good positive employee experience. And you also said this personalization has the effect that you get a higher resonance by your employees. And in the end, if I got you right, Spencer, getting a higher productivity within the organization. For us at Valantic, entrepreneurship is a crucial asset in our organization. What would you say, how important is the creative freedom of entrepreneurship for employees when we think of a positive employee experience?
Absolutely. And I think I might have mentioned before that entrepreneurship is a tongue twister for me at the best of times. So hopefully I'll get this right throughout answering the question and and won't say something else instead. I think, look, honestly, all jokes aside, from my perspective, you know, very few organizations have been successful with entrepreneurship. I think that to a degree, from the ones that I've spoken with and when we surveyed them, it's a cultural led initiative. I think a lot of it has sort of grown in popularity, I say in a slightly misguided way, by some organizations looking at reading articles of what Google has done previously years ago and how Amazon sort of helps generate ideas. And I think there's been a little bit of a sort of, that seems good for them and they're a popular new company, we need to adopt it in. And I think that from what I have seen is when organizations don't sit down and actually think of what's the business outcome for them, what they're trying to achieve by the idea of entrepreneurship, they can often sort of, you know, it's almost like the business equivalent to organ rejection. It's just like, you know, you like the, it's, you know, you need that, you feel you need this thing, but you can't really adapt your culture and your organization to the value of it. So, you know, for me, entrepreneurship is about the establishment of new business areas, development of individual ideas that can improve how either an organization is currently operating or an idea for a new revenue stream or a new way of working. So, you know, what I see from entrepreneurship, almost got it perfectly there, is it empowers innovation in those organizations that have it adopted properly from the C-suite down. It allows employees, it helps with that employee sort of talent war that we were talking about earlier. It helps with employee retention because you're asking employees to spend more of their time to think about new opportunities, giving them maybe some ideation time of their own separate to their job. It can help, and then if it's spun into a project, it can drive engagement with employees as well. It can help develop new skills. Somebody can suggest an idea that's outside of their skill remit, and if it gets adopted in the organization, you know, it can be very, you know, it can be a good way to help people to transition into new skill areas and attracts talent. And I think one of the really big ones, and especially as we've seen again over the pandemic, some of this is, you know, it can help mitigate burnout. Again, making people, giving people the opportunity to, you know, to provide ideas and contribute and to feel they're not just a cog in a machine, you know, it can help with that. However, and I caveat this strongly, there is two things it really needs. So, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, is a really good thing, but it can be chaotic if not structured properly. And isn't focused on, say, you know, some form of return on investment type sort of parameter. So it's important with employees to say, look, you know, here's the 11, we're going to give you some autonomy to think about ideas and submit them, but this is the structure for doing this. There's mentorship programs for it as well. And then this is the type of, you know, performance indicators that we as leaders are looking for out of ideas. And you don't necessarily have to provide all the deep data detail on the offset, but you need to know that your idea has to be serving something that either benefits the organization to grow or to be, say, more efficient. So I think it's entrepreneurship has this great opportunity to unlock new forms of creativeness in your business, but it does need to be coached with, does need to have a good amount of structure as well.
And I want to add, Spencer, I really think that the entrepreneurship unlocks also loyalty, because if it's you who is the entrepreneur within an organization with upcoming new technologies and products, this also increases the loyalty with your organization. And in the effect, it mitigates burnout, but you also get a high engagement when it's you who takes decisions also about future products, I think. Just to add from my perspective, yeah.
No, I genuinely really agree with you. I think it's one of those, again, we've talked about this a little bit during this podcast, and some people could argue, oh, that's, you know, that's out of date thinking and stuff. But I would say that still many organizations still at a senior level still look at employees to a degree as cogs in a machine, rather than not just people who are skilled at doing a thing, but as you've just described as well there, you know, as people who can have their own ideas beyond necessarily their current remit, that then, like you say, builds loyalty and builds in interest and passion and longevity.
It's very interesting because for me, the entrepreneurship is the puzzle piece which brings together the personalization and the holistic employee experience. And maybe as a final sum up questions, could you again summarize the 3, 4, 5 core characteristics of a digital employee experience of the future when we think, what is your vision of the future if the organization companies do it properly to bring employee experience into life, into their organizations? What would be the 3 or 4, main points you would say, look at them and you can achieve and master it?
Absolutely. So what I will start with a caveat. And the caveat to that, this answer is that technology should augment the employee experience, not hinder it. I say this because as we talked about right at the beginning of the podcast, you know, a lot of organizations still look at their employee engagement strategy as a technology conversation and not as a literally as a process workflow culture conversation. So coming back into these, like, as you're saying, there's 3 to 5 sort of characteristics. You know, again, we talked about this a little bit already, but to emphasize again, personalization is at the core, making employees feel understood, recognized, that they as individuals, as much as is reasonably possible with the information at hand. So, you know, personalized communication, personalized learning opportunity, resources, you know, that's the future key, really, one of the future keys to this.
I want to ask you, because personalization, as we said, it's a huge work to personalize. And you said, okay, we use the technology, but what is about the simplicity that we can master personalization and the technology, which is always a little bit more complex, and you have to master new problems with technology? So what do you say about simplicity? Because it's also important for a good experience as a customer or as an employee to have a simple way to do things.
100%. So this comes back to the classic situation, and thank you for bringing this up, that we've talked about a little bit before as well, which is, you know, it is essential for any C-suite leader when looking at their digital employee experience strategy and thinking about their future, it to put the employee at the center of the conversation. And I know this might sound obvious, but for example, the retail industry had to go through the same journey when they spent decades putting product at the center of their business, and they had to switch to putting customer at the center of their business. And what I mean by putting them at the center is that it is going to take to provide a what you would call a low friction, simple experience for employees that's rich. You know, it's going to take a lot of technology. It's going to take a lot of navigation between current ways that an organization operates. It's probably going to take some reflection on people's targets and how managers are incentivized. So there is some combinations of complexity that need to be understood and planned for and navigated to deliver that simplicity that underpins the personalization. It's going up essentially to the point of the pyramid where there's so much work, or even to use another analogy, it's the iceberg situation. You know, you're looking at digital employee experience as the tip of the iceberg, but there is a huge amount of the iceberg still under the ocean that needs to be addressed first to make that top part really, you know, really engaged and successful. And I think that's the real challenge around the simplicity side of things. To be fair, customer experience still hasn't truly, it's got much better at it, but hasn't truly addressed this either yet. So there's lots of opportunity in businesses.
As you said, Spencer, it's an iceberg. We're talking about a huge natural phenomenon. And what about this big thing? Because employee experience, as you said in the podcast, has so many aspects. And I'm wondering, you were talking about database in order to make good decisions, in order to manage, structure that, because you need to give the employees also an orientation within your organization. And I would be interested, what do you think? How can we make all the data transparent? How can we make the employee experience transparent and also manageable, and also for the employee not to be overwhelming with all the aspects? What would you say?
Yeah, so, you know, this is a challenge that organizations face themselves in with regards to the core services that they generate and sell externally, let alone how they engage with employees. I think, you know, in all honesty, like, you know, transparency, as you mentioned, is at the heart of this, with regards to also employees want to understand clearly what their employer is doing with the data that's about them that's being generated, how that's being leveraged in their business. It also means that a lot of organizations and businesses need to go through a data rationalization and a data consolidation effort with regards to employee information as well, and be much more focused with regards to understanding what different systems in their business have the data they need to stitch together to provide the different employee experiences. So there is a significant amount of initial analysis that does need to be put in place. And there also is a significant understanding of what type of systems do you need to, you know, basically integrate together to provide that single view of employee as best as you can.
From my point of view, you gave us a really good overview into this debate of employee experience, and gave us great insights about your research in the field of employees, HR, personnel, the market. So what would be your first step, maybe, in order to bring all your thoughts, all your research into life? What would be your suggestion to a CEO, to leadership? What is the first step?
So I would say, with regards to employee experiences, what are, as leaders of a business, what is it about how your employees are currently operating that, you know, is limiting your success as a business? Because ultimately, everybody's employed into an organization to help drive the success of that business. So some reflection on, are there areas of when I say friction, I don't mean people and personality friction. I mean operational behavior style friction. I think it's important for the C-suite to understand, to say, like, you know, how do we retain skill more? How do we, you know, optimize how people are behaving so that we can, you know, be more successful in how we operate? And that's the starting point of the value of what an employee experience strategy can provide the C-suite. I think very quickly then, once a, sort of a team, frankly, is set up for that, you know, then you go into, as we've already mentioned, the design thinking and ideation phase, where you go and engage a selection of champions, so to speak, inside of your business, of employees, to help then explain what the frustrations the employees have and how they operate and how they want to work, and then basically develop a strategy that feeds into helping growth for the organization whilst helping mental enrichment and career satisfaction in the employees.
So thank you very much, Spencer, for being our guest and giving us the insight into what is employee experience, why is it important to know the insights about this debate. And I really learned that it's about personalization, it's about the experience, to make it simple and transparent to the employees, make it flexible in order to make it proper and also get a lot of resonance by the employees, and also to empower people and make it more productive in the end. So thank you very much for your insights and your interesting thoughts from your research. And thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, Constantine.